Hello, welcome to episode 234 of the AFK Podcast for the week of March 3rd, 2019. I'm your host, James Flynn, and this is the PC Gaming Podcast from gamers like you. Joining me this week is Curlin.
What's up?
And Madge.
What's up, everybody?
Thanks for hanging out with me tonight, guys. This week's going to be a little different. There wasn't a whole lot of news anyway, so we've all been playing the last couple weeks a lot of Anthem. And I'm sure that all of our listeners have heard all kinds of news and takes on the game. So we're going to kind of dive into Anthem today and give you our impression. And then probably talk about some of the concerns that you've heard voiced by other podcasters and YouTubers. But we're going to try to keep it a balanced conversation. You know, we're going to talk about the good as well as the bad, because as many issues as this game has had and does still have, I find myself still playing it and still wanting to play it, and that's weird. Have you guys felt the same way? How do you feel about Anthem? What are your first impressions? Do you find it like that it has issues, but you still want to play it?
Right. The issues that I've encountered aren't big enough to make me want to just quit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's still compelling enough that I'm not tired of it yet, essentially. I mean, don't get me wrong, there is some jank.
Yeah, I'll
say that the issues are pretty big, but I agree. I'm still playing the game just for fun. I just, you know, finished the storyline and just starting on the end game and getting to the point now where it's maybe getting a little repetitive. But I still really enjoy playing with, you know, friends.
Yeah, for sure. I think that for me, that's when the game has been the most fun, is when you get a group of your friends and you're out doing the missions, doing the contracts. It's mm-hmm. one of those games where you can start playing it and you can have the TV on because you really don't need to pay attention to necessarily the story when you're out doing the missions.
They did a couple things really right. I mean, first of all, that I like the theme, right? Space kind of. Even though technically non-space, but fantasy sort of shooter. It's a looter shooter. It's, you know, got RPG mechanics and loot. So that's right up my alley. And they got the core gameplay, I think, is great. The flying mechanics is awesome. But even how the maps and stuff are built and how the flying plays into the world. You know, sometimes we get into games, we immediately complain about, like, running up a, you know, coming across a railing we can't jump over, or is, you know, like a door we can't necessarily open or something like that. But in here, it's like they do such a good job of making it kind of seamless with the world that you don't really feel like that. So the gameplay, like the moment-to-moment gameplay, I think is really good.
And speaking of the world, what a beautiful world it is.
Yeah.
Graphics is another thing, right? Like, just the special effects. It's very pretty. It's pretty smooth once you get in there.
Yep. No, I agree. I am about ready for another big map, though.
Yeah.
Because I've explored a lot of this. But, I mean, I'm sure it'll come with time. Overall, it reminds me of the feeling that I got when playing Destiny 1 back when we were started that on the PlayStation. That's kind of the vibe that I get from it, to be honest.
Yeah, there's a lot of parallels to it.
Yeah, after you did all the stuff, you didn't really want to quit playing, so you just kind of did extra stuff to keep playing. That's kind of how it goes.
For me, it kind of felt like Mass Effect Andromeda, because... you know, partially because of the jetpack. I mean, you couldn't fly in Mass Effect Andromeda, but I think you did have an assisted jump, if I remember correctly. Yeah. And it's the same engine. I mean, so the looks are very similar. And
But unlike Andromeda, the character design is really well done, at least for the main characters, right? And some of the cutscenes and stuff are done really well.
Yeah. You know, speaking of the characters, that was the one thing I found a little... odd. Everybody looks kind of weird. Is there some kind of trend into not making the characters in games look good?
Well, like I mean, aesthetically, they look fine to me. They feel a little plastic.
Yeah, they all look like they have big ears or big noses. And
but compared to Andromeda, though, right, they look more lifelike, and the facial expressions are more... They almost overdid it with some folks, but I think it's a step above... It's more than what I expected. Now, my own character in the game is less than what I expected because I don't think I've actually seen that character in game, which kind of begs the point of why they bothered to have you choose a character at all, or at least a facial look.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of odd for a BioWare game to have such a lack of choice in your character customization.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of lends to the fact that this was probably an unfinished game, which we can probably talk about a little bit.
Yeah. So let's delve into some of Anthem's shortcomings then. A big thing I've experienced myself and I hear a lot is loot variety, lack of loot variety. There seems to be a certain set of weapons, and then when you get a different version of that weapons, it's just basically a different color, but it basically looks... Assault rifles all look the same. Machine pistols all look the same. They're just different colors when you get different weapons. And they all feel the same, too. I haven't noticed that any of them... Like, every assault rifle pretty much feels the same. Every machine pistol pretty much feels the same. What are your thoughts on that? The lack of loot variety and the sameness between the loot?
I mean, definitely the look and feel. You can go into the journal or whatever it's called, the Cortex, and you can see that all the models are the same with just some slight variation. So that's disappointing, especially for a named weapon. You want to get excited about the way it looks. They show the loot on you, so, you know, people should see it and be able to recognize it. I don't know that that's there yet. And that's just how it looks. In terms of the actual gun mechanics and stuff, I think they all feel like, you know, there are certain gun types, the scout rifle and the assault rifle and the sniper, with the exception of something like the Devastator is actually a charged sniper rifle, and that feels a little different. I haven't tried the Colossus weapons, but I assume they're a little different as well. But I think the issues with the loot go far beyond that. It's like they just recently patched out the ability to not have bad rolls on weapons. So basically a weapon can have, I think a legendary or a masterwork weapon can have 3 or 4 inscriptions, which is kind of like Diablo when you have little extra attributes to the weapons. And so they patched out, people were getting like useless abilities, and you still can get bad rolls on weapons, and you still have the incentive to reroll weapons, which is fine, but like they patched out completely useless attributes of weapons, things that were not affecting the weapons at all. And I think they're looking to do more with that, because it's definitely, I think, lacking in some ways.
Yeah. Luckily, I didn't top out my level early enough to really feel that too much. But Corey, man, he was like, oh, great, I got another one of the same thing that I just got in the last run. Like, now I'm not getting them at all. It's like, yeah. So it's good that they did address that fairly quickly, because, I mean, like, that patch seemed like it came out, like, a day or two later after the official launch day patch or whatever.
Right, yeah. And it's kind of – it's hard to figure out what your loot does. I mean – you can look on Reddit and somebody will have like a million hit like sniper shot or something. But it like the terminologies they use are so odd that you can't even figure out what the thing is supposed to do or like what it affects. And they clean that up a little bit, but it really requires like a glossary. And then there's no stat page, which is like one of the biggest complaints.
You can't see your base stats.
No one knows what their total health is. No one knows what their total luck is. Pickup radius, you really have to like break out a spreadsheet, you know?
Yeah. Min-max.
Yeah. It just kind of wave their hands and be like, you don't worry about those things. It just works.
You know, another large complaint is the lack of content. Now, me personally, I've got close to 50 hours in this game. And I haven't really done everything or explored everything or talked to everybody. I've just been going on and jumping into groups with friends and running out and doing missions. I kind of paid a bit attention to the main story. I did finish the main story, so I kind of get the gist of it. But as far as lack of content goes, for a massively multiplayer online, yeah, I would agree with it in that case. Yeah, if this was a single player game, you wouldn't hear me complain about 50 hours. But in an MMO, that is not going to be enough to carry this game and keep players in the game and keep them engaged. We've only got strongholds that we can run over and over again. The mission variety doesn't seem to be, you've got like maybe three or four types of missions, and then you repeat the same ones over and over again. How do you guys feel about the content? Do you feel there's a lack of content in the game?
If I remember right, Destiny kind of launched in the same state. But the frustrating thing is that Destiny came out a couple of years ago, and you would hope that they would have picked up on maybe we need a little bit more stuff for them to do.
Destiny, I think, had three, what are they called? I think it had like eight strikes, right? Or six strikes, something like that. And then maybe one or two were exclusive to PS4, which we were on anyways.
Was it that many? I thought it was fewer.
And then the raid came out a week after launch. Because I think we were all at Jim's land trying to...
I think you were, yeah.
I was on my projector, and we were all trying to grind it to get ready for the raid that came out like a week later after launch. So I think Destiny had more content, but to me it's not like the lack of content. It's like the...
A lack of variety?
It's unfinished content, first of all. Like, the conversations you have with the folks in the fort, like, none of that matters, really. There's only maybe one or two missions I can think of where there's, like, a cinematic cutscene or something interesting happens. Otherwise, at this point, I'm just, like, skipping through all the conversations because...
Yeah, same here. Same here.
Yeah.
And... you know, there's just like, there's lack of strongholds, the free play missions, like the activities in the missions seem to repeat. So it's like stand on the thing and guard it. I mean, Destiny had that too with the ghost, you know, everybody made fun of, collect the orbs and come back. That's another one. I think those are like the two big mechanics, and there's not much variety after that. And, you know, at first it was, I wonder now, because it's like hindsight's 2020. Everyone's like, oh, this game is great. Like, it's not going to have PvP. You know, they're going to focus on the story. And now I just wonder, like, the only reason they probably didn't add PvP is because they were so far behind anyways. And they just cut it and just said, like, we're focusing on the story, you know. And I don't know. This is a conspiracy theory of mine, but... I'm just like, now I'm looking back on some stuff and, you know, everything, they were very honest about the stuff they were showing, but like they just didn't show enough, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if I could agree that they were necessarily honest with the stuff they were showing. I've seen the footage from E3.
That's true.
I mean, Fort Tarsus at E3 in the demo they showed, or the clip they showed, claiming that it was all done within the game engine and everything. Yeah. It was so much more vibrant than what we ended up getting. Now that
Striders walking around. They said it was in-game footage.
Right.
It might have been. The thing is what was it running on?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
If it wasn't running on PC, then what else was it would be running on?
Well, no, I mean, like what kind of dev rig were they using? Yeah. You know what I mean? That's what I mean.
Getting back briefly to the story and not talking to people. This is the first BioWare game that I've ever played where I've found myself skipping conversations. I've never done that in a BioWare game. Previous BioWare games, you know, I'd wait with bated breath, you know, to speak to somebody because I was going to get some more of an interesting story. But it just seems like the people you talk to at Fort Tarsus, they don't have anything interesting to say at all. And I just,
there's no incentive.
Give me the mission and I want to go. Yeah.
Right. Because if one, they only have two dialogue choices. So if they had three or four, it might make it more interesting. Two, they don't have like alignments. Like let's say you responded one way, you would gain benefit with one faction, and you responded another way, you would gain a benefit with another faction. Or you responded one way and the guy gives you a certain vinyl, and you respond another way and a guy gives you a cool texture, right? Like that sort of stuff is meaningful. And then like later on down the line, you know, 6 hours later, 10 missions later, you find out that the guy you talked to went out and died because you egged him on to do this thing and he's no longer in the thing. Whereas if you had chose the other path, he might still be there. And so there's nothing like that. Like, so you're just like, I'm just wasting my time and the conversations aren't that interesting. So I'm going to skip through them, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
It just seems like there's a lot they could do. And even with, I mean, that's just the story. That's just the fort, you know, you're sitting there walking around. Like, that's another thing. You have to walk around. Even if there's something urgent going on, you're still walking around the base. Which kind of silly.
They say you're running, but it's more like, I call it the freelancer shuffle.
Yeah, they did add a little jog.
Yeah.
I think they said any more would break like the animations or something.
Yeah, and I mean,
you can't see yourself anyway. So
yeah. And then you know, I'm not going to harp on them for the technical stuff. That's why I didn't put it in the notes, because any big game like this is going to have issues when it first starts out with connection issues, and I mean they've got to figure it out, right? I mean, there's no way to test for a couple million people before you put the game out.
Well, they're open beta. I guess should have done that. But.
Yeah, well, that and the demo, and they have made improvements. I played all last night without any connection issues, so it's clear that they are working on it, and you know they're doing their best to get it resolved.
Yeah, I mean, I tend to agree with you. I mean, that stuff feels forgivable to me, but like poor design. Just some of the design decisions they made just seem sloppy and rushed out. Now, I guess what I should clarify before is not that they were honest about stuff, but that they were communicating with the community. They were answering questions. They were very, communicative on Reddit and other forums. And the community really thought that was great because, you know, other companies will go silent. It's just what they weren't saying, I guess, was ended up being the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, they did put out a roadmap. Unfortunately, the roadmap looks kind of thin. We're not going to get a Cataclysm until May. Have you guys seen the roadmap?
Yeah, I've seen it. I got it up, It's only like they're going to change the free play events. So, like, I think last week it was, you know, bandit invasions in the free play missions. And then I'm sure the next month it'll be Scar invasions in the free play. There's nothing major. There's maybe a couple extra legendary items are going to drop, some cosmetic stuff. In May, there'll be Cataclysm, and they haven't even said what that is. They said it's aspirational content, but that's also free play.
Yeah. And well, here's the other thing too, the bandit invasion, and I think it was Scorpions yesterday. It's the same. I mean, there's no difference between the two. You're just fighting different enemies.
Yeah, and it's fine, you know, supplementary, but it's, you know, as the main thing you're going to do seems kind of lackluster.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a lot they could have done just, you know, with the Shaper relics being able to affect anything. They could have went crazy on the game mechanics. It just really felt like they didn't have enough time. And I think if they had released 6 months later, it would have made a world of difference for at least first impressions.
Yeah, I don't think that this is going to be enough to keep people in the game. I think they're going to see within the next couple weeks a huge player drop off.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, Division 2 is coming out. People are going to move on to other games. They're not going to keep doing the same content over and over again.
Right. It's going to be like how Destiny 1 was all over again, to be honest. Because, I mean, if you think back, Destiny 1 was kind of in the same boat. You know, you after you did the story, you just kind of had to go out and do the same kind of missions over and over again. And then, you know, they did drop the rate fairly soon from what Magic calls. But still, like, for that, I want to say that's my biggest gripe, is that for all that Destiny accomplished, you would have hoped that with them building a pretty similar game, that they would have not done or not taking a similar path at launch. And
yeah, or Diablo, right? The loot is just like Diablo, but they left out the good parts of it.
Right. But I mean, it's also kind of makes me wonder if it goes back to what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago with the CFOs running the company, and they needed to get this launch to make like Q1 or Q2 financial results or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that had to be it.
And that gets us into games as a service. Everything seems to be going games as a service, and now there's news that Bethesda had hired somebody who specializes in monetizing games, and they're looking at going into the games as a service model. And the last Tomb Raider I played is, you know, it was a good solid single player game, but there's a lot of elements of games as a service even in that game. Purchasable content to keep people in the game and keep them going. Now, I don't have a problem with it if you do it right. Unfortunately, EA does not have a good track record of doing it right. What are your thoughts on games as a service?
I mean, in concept, it's cool. Because, you know, we like games. We want to play them forever. But I think in practice, it's very hard to pull off.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't mind. I do kind of mind, but I don't mind because I mostly ignore it anyway. The whole, hey, let's put this extra stuff in there that we can nickel and dime you if you so choose to indulge. The thing that bothers me, though, is that effort that going into that could have gone into something else to make the game as a whole better.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think they just think they can release an unfinished game because of, you know, games as a service.
And because of patch culture.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I'm back on Twitter and following, you know, all the big gaming hardware companies really is the only reason I set it up. But I did make some comments to some of the YouTubers about games as a service. And this is what I said. I said games as a service is a bane on the games industry. It guts the soul of games and replaces it with microtransactions. Under those pretty AAA graphics is truly something hideous. And what I mean from saying that is that the intent of the publisher isn't to give us quality content. It's for them to get as much money as they can out of a game before they kick it to the curb. They rush it out, like they rushed Anthem out, and all the soul that BioWare would have put into that game just isn't there. It doesn't really even feel like a BioWare game. And then
because they had a date to meet, essentially.
Yeah. And then they put in microtransactions or loot crates or whatever the case may be. And it's usually, you know, some shitty cosmetic stuff that costs way too much. Or map packs that, you know, it's just really recycled content. I think that the whole games as a service model is hurting the PC games industry.
And I'll say one thing they did were a little bit smart about is they led with, hey, no loot boxes. And I'll say the store is severely lacking. Like, there's nothing to buy.
Yeah,
and it's like they left content out because we saw it in live streams. There was more stuff they had made, but they're leaving it out. And I think that's wise because, you know, people would be like, your game is broken. You don't have enough content. But here you are pushing all this stuff in the story, yay. You know, so I think they're wise a little bit to do that. But at the same time, man, it's just there's not enough incentive to play. Like, you're getting currency to buy stuff from the store, but you can't do that. And the stuff is not dropping from loot boxes. I mean, sorry, from bosses. You know, the bosses don't drop armor pieces or vinyls or anything aesthetic, which, so even if you do something on a harder level, no one would know it, right? Like, it just increases your chances of getting better loot, but no one knows that you took 2 hours to do it on Grandmaster 2 instead of 1. You could have easily got the same gear from Grandmaster 1. So, I don't know. They really need to figure out their structure, and I don't have a problem with games with, you know, games as a service, as long as it's done right, really.
Yeah.
Is BioWare going to survive this?
People have brought that up, and they've responded, yeah, we're fine, guys, but who knows?
I think it depends on how much pull the CFO has and what the finance, the earnings call says. You know what I mean?
Cause, can they afford to kill them, though? Like, what are they going to be left with? FIFA, right?
That and DICE.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So if they're smart, they wouldn't, but it wouldn't be the first time a publisher has cut off his nose to spite his face. So
I can see some restructuring.
Yeah.
Definitely some restructuring.
Massive layoffs and all of that not so fun stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to playing this tonight. You know, I still want to play it, but I can't imagine that 2 weeks from now I'll be saying the same thing. I think,
well, you know, just knowing how I am with past games. Right?
Yeah. So we'll wrap up our Anthem discussion then and start talking about The Division 2. Unless you guys have anything that you want to add about Anthem.
Just that I'm rooting for it. Hopefully it pulls it around. I'm enjoying it. Hopefully they add more content.
Yeah. It like you said, eventually it's going to get to the point where I'll be splitting my time with it and something else. Who knows? It may even fall off my list for a while, kind of like how Destiny 2 did, and then I'll go back to it and then, you know, can't friggin' get enough of it all over again. So who knows? We'll just have to see what happens, really.
Yeah, for sure. All right, the Division 2 open beta is out. I got into it a little bit. I know you guys have been playing it. You know, I have to say, my first impressions of the Division 2 are basically that it's Division 1 in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Did you guys play it after it's... I mean, we played it initially, but did you guys play it, like, well after that when they fixed stuff, supposedly?
Well, I played it last night.
No, I mean Division 1.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I still play Division 1 from time to time.
Okay, yeah, I didn't play after sort of the main drop-off, not much anyways. But yeah, it seemed very much the same to me. I mean, it ran very smoothly in the open beta and all that. And so that was impressive, given that Anthem had so many issues. I'll say that it's not my favorite in terms of theme. It's just, like, very violent and, like, depressing, I think. You know, if they had alien bugs and green, you know, blood and stuff, I'd be a happy guy. But, you know, it's a really good game as far as looter shooters go, I think. And I'm also rooting for that one. I actually bought it, so I'm going to be playing it. I didn't get the full-blown early access or anything, but I'm excited for it.
Carolyn?
Yeah. For me, it was one of those that I was going to play it anyway. And luckily, I didn't have to buy it, because it came with my graphics card. So
yes, same here.
That's one of the reasons why I wasn't too terribly eager to hop into the demo. I mean, or the beta or whatever, because it looks like you're kind of starting off like how the first one was, where you're starting off where you were in the very beginning. You know what I mean? And once you play it a couple of times, you kind of lose context or whatever. So I was like, yeah, I want to play it. I know how the engine runs, which was one of my biggest concerns.
Well, it's a new engine, isn't it?
No, it's still Snowdrop. It's just evolved.
Okay, yeah, because I thought some of the hangups they had were because of their engine, and so this was going to give them a better chance.
It is because they developed Snowdrop specifically for this game, and that Division 1 was the first time they had ever used it.
Nice, okay.
Yeah, it's all in-house, so...
I think this could have been DLC.
Given the engine changes.
No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the game. I like the Division for what it is. But you could have made this a map pack and left me with my original character and then put a bunch of new gear, tiers of gear in that we'd go out and find, or a bunch of new abilities that we could get. Or technology we could get, like they did add a drone and seeker mines and stuff like that. But ultimately, the gameplay is the same as the Division 1. Not saying there's anything wrong with that, but when you make a new game and call it Division 2, I think it should be a little more different than what we're actually getting. They could have just made this like a $60 DLC and called it a day.
You're probably right, but like everything, this has to do with money, right? So I wasn't going to go back to Division 1 ever. And then they basically got me because I'm like, ooh, this is 2. And I think that's what they had to do because the negative impression of people who dropped off in the first game was that they'll fix it in 2. And I think people are probably going to say the same thing about Anthem. They'll fix it in part 2. I'll come back for 2. So I think it's a smart marketing move on their part. And they're going to have some new isn't there like an 8-player raid or something that they're advertising?
Not sure.
Yeah, so I think they got a few bells and whistles that'll be interesting.
I mean, it definitely looks as good as the first game. I didn't have any technical issues getting in and no connection issues like with the first game. It runs good on my PC. I even ran it on one of my low-end PCs and was still getting decent performance at ultra settings.
Yeah, the engine has come a long way, that's for sure. You also have to remember that we also have massively faster hardware than it was when the first game launched. Because remember, the Fury X and the 1080 Ti was the she's when at launch. So
yeah,
that level of performance is replaced by like mid-grade cards. Well, overpriced mid-grade cards, but you get the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I didn't think about it in the terms of they could have just made it a DLC or a really big map pack or whatever. But I guess kind of like Matt says, they got to make it's about money and they got to try to sell it somehow. So.
Yeah, I think he makes a good point that putting it out as 2 separates it somewhat from 1.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you're absolutely right, Madge.
Yeah, I didn't hate 1 like some of the other people did, and I didn't drop off and never go back like some other people did. It was just kind of like, okay, I guess they need some time to do some things. I'm gonna go play something else that just came out. And right, I'll double back later on, but a lot of people didn't do that.
That's the thing, right? Yeah, it's hard to get your friends and stuff coming back all at the same time.
Right.
Well, one of the problems with 1, and I think we're starting to see it now in other games, is the hype train. Things are made out to be bigger than they were. They had a whole series of short live-action films before the release of the Division 1 to kind of build up the hype for it and to flesh out the story. I think the hype train is, does have that negative, ultimately have that negative impact on the game because, it can never live up to what the expectations are.
Yeah.
I will say I'm pretty excited about Washington, D.C. because I work across from there and I can see the whole D.C. landscape. So that's pretty fun. I mean, that's kind of the first time for me in a game.
We'll have to see how the scale is.
It's supposed to be 1-to-1.
Really? Because I know D.C. pretty well. It's one of those cities that...
It's 1-to-1. I think when they did New York, it was not. Yeah, exactly.
New York is so much bigger than D.C. Well, that'll be interesting if it's 1-to-1. We'll see how accurate it is. I was just there this last summer.
Oh, in D.C.?
That'll be fun. Yeah, I just took the family there to go to the Smithsonian.
Yep, I work like just 5 minutes from there.
Across Man, the traffic though. Ugh.
Yeah, it's like third worst in the U.S.
Yeah. All right. Anything else on the division?
No, not really.
Final thoughts? I mean, you guys said you're getting it. Obviously, I'm getting it too. Have it already, so we'll be playing it.
I mean, people should try it if they have time during the open beta. See for yourself. That's the big lesson with games. It's just see for yourself.
Well, Division is one of those games that does the grouping right, I think. You know, you get in there and you can play with up to three of your friends because it's easy to group up and go.
Right. Oh, yeah. And the drop-in, drop-out is great with Division. It's horrible with Anthem, but Division was excellent to just drop in with the friends. I will say, though, about just betas in general, and this happened with Destiny 2, where, you know, we came off the beta and was like, yeah, this game is great. It's going to look so fun. And I'm, you know, telling all my friends on it. And then it's just different when you get into the end game. And I wish betas would be more, here, we're going to unlock every ability, you know, put you on max level and let you run around for a week. There's obviously going to be a wipe, but let's get some real testing. Let's get some real, ability to try it out and see.
I like that idea. Show them what you're going to get if you put the time in.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just big advertisement and it's not really testing it or getting any feedback.
Yeah, that's a double-edged sword, though, because if they show you too much, people will be like, well, I just saw everything, blah, I don't have to buy this, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but in a loot grind game, it's like you're after the loot, right? So, and if they wipe you, you're starting from zero. I don't know. I think something like a Tomb Raider or something, obviously you wouldn't do, but something that's intended to be played for hundreds of hours, well, guess what? After the first 10 hours, you're going to see everything, and then you're going to see everything over and over and over again. And if it's not good, then that's going to be a problem. So I don't think seeing it in beta is going to hurt.
Well, if it's not fun, you know, if it's not fun to do the same things over and over again, and I forgot to mention this during our Anthem discussion, the Titan fights in Anthem, extremely repetitive. There's like... Each Titan has the same abilities. It does the same thing every Titan you fight. It's just a matter of how many you fight, one or three. And I don't find the fights with the Titans to be fun as much as they are frustrating.
Yeah, those things are annoying.
Yeah.
Because there isn't enough that you can avoid combat-wise.
They give you this dodge ability.
They repeat them in the storyline over and over again, too.
Yeah, I mean, they give you this dodge ability, but when you're fighting a Titan and you've got two fireballs coming at you, you can only dodge one, and then you get hit by the AoE. So what's the point of dodging the dodge mechanic if there's no way to avoid taking damage?
Well, I mean, the Interceptor has three dodges and a triple jump, but and the Colossus has a shield. I'm not sure about the other guys, but... Yeah, I don't know, but it is repetitive, and it would be nice if they had two or three more things. I think there's like a tank type thing, and the Colossus. I want a giant rabbit boss to come out.
Giant rabbit boss?
Rabbit, you know those rabbits that they have in the game that look like rabbits?
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
I'm like,
those things are kind of cute. I don't want to kill those.
They should have a giant one for Easter or something. There's no flight. I mean, there's the wyverns, but like it would be cool if there was a boss that was entirely in the air or something.
Aerial
there's
combat.
Just a lot of stuff. There's a lot of missed opportunities.
Yeah, definitely a lot of missed opportunities there. And I think that's what the takeaway is going to be from that, you know, this discussion today, is there's just a lot of missed opportunities and a lot of it that seems rushed, right?
Yeah, basically. I'd say anyone who's thinking about getting it, maybe wait till May when the major release comes out and the quality of life stuff is in and it's on sale. And it's definitely would be worth it at that time.
Yeah, the good thing is if you had Origin Access, then you didn't shell out a whole $50-$60 for it to be disappointed. You know, you paid $100 for a year or like $15 for the month to try it out, You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you didn't have to take that L for something that sits in your library and you never go back to it. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Well, I got Origin Access because of it, but that's fine. There's like a whole bunch of other stuff I'll play.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. One other thing before we go, that Curlin brought up earlier pre-show, looks like Xbox games may be coming to Windows 10.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier. That if that's what I think it may be, that's going to be pretty dope, and it's going to put Microsoft kind of ahead of Sony in the quote-unquote console war.
What do you think it's going to be?
Well, that you'll be able to buy Xbox games and run them on your PC, kind of like how they do with the 360 games running on Xbox One. You know what I'm saying? Those architectures are totally different. You know what I mean? But if they can make like a semi console like what's the right phrase? Like
an emulator?
Yeah, it will definitely be emulated, but if they can do like a concealed environment, for lack of a better term.
Like an abstraction layer?
Like a VM or something?
Yeah. Because, I mean, it'll certainly be... I can't see where it wouldn't have to either flip into a different mode or either load... They'd have to store enough of the libraries from the Xbox onto Windows to where it would run. You know what I mean? And since they're the software guys, if this is that, then they could certainly pull it off. I mean, hell, that could be what the rumored big reveal is for E3. So
that would be awesome.
Yeah, it would be.
It only took them 10 years though.
Well, I mean, nowadays like what we were saying earlier, the architectures are so similar because it's all running on AMD hardware.
Yeah. Yep. APUs.
I mean, hell, all the Xbox One is really is like the RX 580 with a quad-core mobile chip and 8 gigs of, well, 12 gigs of embedded GDDR5. So,
well, that definitely will be exciting because, I mean, there are certain titles they only release on console that I'd like to pick up, like Red Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Very cool. Well, guys, thanks for hanging out with me tonight. Thanks for the contribution to the Anthem discussion.
Are we going to talk about new hardware? I forgot to mention. I got a Razer Blade 15.
Oh.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's my first Razer laptop. It's got a 270 RTX in it, and I'm really liking it.
Yeah, those are solid. I had the Stealth for about a week. I ended up returning it, not necessarily because of the laptop, because I couldn't get the eGPU to work the way I wanted it to. But while I had it, it was a good solid laptop. My only complaint about it was the tiny ass shift key on the right hand side made it pretty much impossible to type on. But the 15 has the regular shift key, so it's a good looking laptop. You'll have to let us know, how it goes in the future. Razer has a history of a lot of their stuff getting RMA'd.
Yeah, I mean, so far I haven't like put it through the ringer yet. I did put Anthem on it, and that runs great on it. It's got the Max-Q, so it's the thinner one. And I actually got the model that's the Mercury White one, so it looks a little bit more like a MacBook Pro and doesn't look like a crazy gamer laptop, which was kind of important to me that I could like bring it to the office. And
so you can blend in at the office, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Put an Apple sticker on the back of it so they wouldn't know.
Yeah. That's funny. Like it's funny that you got a new laptop because I also picked up a laptop this week.
Ooh, what'd you get?
I picked up a open box, a refurbished XPS 15 with the Vega M and the Intel on the one chip.
Nice. That's the one that Will's got.
Yeah, that one. Mm-hmm. It was like $1,200 out the door.
Wow,
nice. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and of course I had to put bigger storage in there, but so far I'm digging it. It's a solid machine. and it can run quite a bit more than I thought that it would be able to.
Very cool.
Yeah.
You gonna do some benchmarks?
I haven't. I'd have to like load up my whole library on the thing. So
yeah.
But the stuff that I've tried out so far, I've been kind of impressed with what it can do. You know what I mean? The only caveat with this one is that it's only Thunderbolt and USB-C ports. There aren't any regular Type A ports. So I had to get one of them silly adapters and look like a Mac Apple snob with wires hanging off of the side of the damn thing. But
Dongle Nation.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Dongle life.
Yeah.
All right, guys. If you'd like to email the show, you can email us at mail@theafkpodcast.net. Find us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, pretty much everywhere you'd find a podcast. Or at theafkpodcast.net. At theafkpodcast.net, you'll find links to our Steam group, the live chat for the podcast, and a live chat for the Discord. That's all I got. Thanks for being here, guys, and thanks to our listeners for being here also. And we'll talk to you next time.